This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
Welcome to the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. The Boston Bruins with their game of the year. The Celtics enter the All-Star break with a four-game winning streak, and the Red Sox get games underway in Florida. We appreciate you joining us here for the show. The Boston Bruins played the game of the year last night against the Washington Capitals. Not only is it a battle against the team that is vying with them for the top spot in the division, but it's a big, heavy, physical, and in this case, dirty team. Tom Wilson took a liberty on Brandon Carlo, which should draw at least a five-game suspension from the league and should have drawn a game misconduct in the game. It's coming in the second period. Brando is going into the corner, playing the puck, and Wilson had a bunch of time to decide whether, A, he was going to hit Carlo as he drifted in from the left-wing circle, A, if he was going to hit him, and B, if he was going to hit him, where he was going to do it. And instead of hitting the body and just going in with a check there, he decided to go in on the head. And Carlo grabbed his head, fell to the ice, and we'll hear from Bruce Cassidy in just a second about the fact that he was then taken to the hospital. So Bruins come out for the second period, and they settle things on the ice with Tenorti dropping the gloves and having a strong bout with Tom Wilson. And then they scored three goals. The focus and effort of the Bruins in playing for Carlo was something to watch. And they end up scoring three goals in the second period of play, 4-0 going into the third, and then another goal, go up 5-0, and end up winning 5-1 in this contest. And there's a number of ways that you can respond in these circumstances. You know, you can go in and try to hurt Wilson. You can go in and try to hurt some of their guys and play with that kind of reckless abandon, take penalties, get perhaps suspensions. But then you can also handle it the way the Bruins did. And if you're a Bruins fan, you got to be proud of the way that they handled this. You know, having both Tenorti and Frederick drop the gloves with Wilson, and the way they handled on the score sheet, they annihilated a really good team after that. So kudos to the Bruins as they win last night 5-1 over the Washington Capitals. Here is Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Well, listen, it's a fast game. They play hard. We play hard. But, I mean, you could see it. He hit him clearly in the head. You know, Brandon's in an ambulance, goes to the hospital, obviously, from that hit. Clearly looked like, to me, got him right in the head. Defenseless player, predatory hit from a player that's done that before. So I don't understand why there wasn't a penalty called on the ice. They huddled up, but I did not get an explanation why. But it's, you know, it's out of our hands after that. We've just got to play hockey and, you know, try to stick together as a team, play the right way. Sometimes when that stuff happens and there's no call, then the players kind of settle it on the ice in their own way. And we felt that we pushed back and did what we could do and won the hockey game and tried to let that particular player know that, you know, was unnecessary. So that's how we handled it, Steve. And that's what I thought of the whole situation. And like I said, I assume it'll get looked at by the National Hockey League and they'll make their decision.
After the second intermission, as teams came out onto the ice, Wilson was stretching in front of his bench, and Patrice Bergeron went over to have a word with Wilson with Alex Ovechkin in the vicinity. And I asked Patrice about what was said.
Hey, Patrice, first question is, what was the message you delivered to Wilson prior to the second period?
You know, respectfully, I'll just keep that on the ice between us. I think obviously it's, you know, a lot of things happen during games, and I'll just leave it at that.
And second, just on the proportional response that you guys had, whether it was, you know, taking care of things on the ice, Tenorti and Frederick, and also on the score sheet too, the way that you guys responded in an all-in type of way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you know, sometimes responding is not always, you know, about dropping the gloves. Obviously, we what Jared did and Freddie as well, you know, is something that doesn't go unnoticed. It's very selfless, and it's for each other, obviously, you know, backing each other up. That being said, I think it's also about how we play, how we react. And I thought, you know, it was a solid game all around from everyone, and kind of doing it for Brando. That's, you know, he's obviously a big part of our team, and has been having our back for a while as well.
Patrice Bergeron right there. Jared Tenorti, a guy who has earned a lot of respect from the Bruins so far, because he drove 17 hours pretty much straight to get from Nashville to Boston so he could be a part of this team. And he stepped into the lineup. He's played well. And he was the guy that dropped the gloves with Wilson to start things off. And then right after that, team responded on the score sheet.
Hey, Jared, just your reaction to seeing how the boys responded to you dropping the gloves there with Wilson, and just the way the group responded overall in kind of a proportional way to his actions.
Yeah. You know, I think that's what's, you know, what I noticed about this team as soon as I got here is that, you know, the boys are playing for each other night in and night out. And I think, you know, how close this group is, and, you know, I'm not surprised to see the boys respond in a big way after one of our guys goes down like that.
Bruins play the Devils on Sunday at 5 p.m. in TD Garden. They're in third place right now in the East Division with 29 points, but they have played two fewer games than the Islanders and the Capitals, who are both tied with 30 points atop the division. Boston Celtics hit the All-Star break with both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum representing the Green. Tatum will start for the injured Kevin Durant for Durant's team and play alongside his buddy Bradley Beal in the starting lineup. For Team Durant, Team LeBron, he has Jaylen Brown on his squad. And the Celtics feel a little bit better about things as they have won four straight games. They had dipped to two games under 500 at 15-17. But after their win over the Raptors on Thursday night, the Celtics find themselves at 19-17 and in the third spot, excuse me, the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference. Here is Brad Stevens with me after the win over the Raptors on Thursday.
Hey, Brad, just what commonality did you see in the four wins and, you know, just your sense on the group seeing success after finding, you know, some difficult moments over the last couple of weeks, what that means for them to see that success and face those challenges?
Well, I know this sounds crazy. I didn't think in any of the four games we played as well as we did in New Orleans for the first three quarters. And so I'm encouraged by the fact that we found ways to win, but we still can be better. And I think that that is the commonality, is we found ways to win. Any of these games could have gone the other way. They were all back and forth. Today it looked like we were going to, you know, looked like we were losing some steam there at the end, but, you know, made a couple big defensive plays, including Kimba's charge, which was huge. And then we're able to kind of stave them off. But each of these four games could have gone any other way. And I think we have to play more complete throughout to be, you know, in consideration for anything significant.
Jaylen Brown had 21 points. Didn't shoot the ball well. Had a decent second half. Brown, 21 points for the Celtics in the 132-125 win over the Raptors. Tatum led the way with 27 points. Celtics bench was key. We'll talk about that coming up in the second segment of the show, but here's Jaylen Brown and the Celtics winning four straight to close out the first half.
Hey, Jaylen, what commonality have you seen over these last four games, and what does it mean that you guys were able to kind of meet the challenge here and come together, stay together, and see some growth to going into the All-Star break?
Yeah, I thought that was big, especially starting off slow. Give credit to Toronto. They play hard, man, and they made us earn it, you know, and that was good going into the break that we needed that win. We picked it up in the second half, but, you know, that was a good win for us.
So mentioned Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the Celtics All-Stars. Brown, 24.7 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, and just a shade under 4 assists. And for Tatum, 24.9 points per game, 7.1 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. Tatum just celebrating his 23rd birthday. Jaylen is 25. for the Seas. So the Red Sox getting set for their season as they've begun spring training games down in Florida. And just want to get a feel for the club and also the thinking behind some of the decisions that we're seeing early on in regards to the lineup. Looks like Alex Cora wants Kike Hernandez to either hit first or second. He's hit first so far. And it's going to be Verdugo in the two spot. That's interesting to see what he does with 3-4-5, where Xander Bogaerts has not played a game yet. Is Bogaerts going to be in the third spot? Devers in the fourth, and J.D. Martinez in the fifth. Martinez has been in the third. Is he going to stay there with Devers fourth and Bogaerts fifth? And then the second part of the lineup is just going to basically be who is in that day. So the Red Sox have a lot of versatility. Talked with Alex Cora about the lineup complexion.
Hey, Alex, just your evaluation on the division this year. You know, we've seen teams kind of up and down for the last number of years, but it seems like everybody has a chance to be competitive. What's your evaluation of the AL East?
It's a good division. We have work to do. You know, New York has a great team. Tampa does too. Toronto made some great additions. And Baltimore, they're working on the program, you know, and they're going to keep making strides. So we have a lot of work to do. I do believe that that's actually good for everybody. You know, like there's not going to be a team that is going to win 108 games. I think we're going to be fighting everybody. You know, it's not going to be a slopside. You know, like there's not going to be a dominant team in the division. That's the way I see it. So that's why I always said, you know, I've been saying we have to work, keep getting better, getting better. And April 1st right away, you know, we play Baltimore. So we got to, you know, those division, you know, we have to be better. The last few years, you know, we've been dominated by the Yankees and the Rays. We haven't been good at home the last 2 years. So there's a few things that we need to do better for us to get to where we want to get. And we will.
On lineup configuration, you have JD 3, Devers 4 today. Is that something that you could see moving forward, or is that just kind of the circumstances of today?
No, we'll see. I mean, we still got Alex. Alex, actually, we're shooting for Friday with him. Probably play Friday and Sunday. And see what we do in the top of the lineup. Like I said, my biggest thing, it's not a concern. It's just like thinking, do I want Alex and Rafi hit back-to-back? And, you know, we'll see how Keegan handles, you know, leadoff spot up there. I want him to be aggressive. You know, I want Kike to, you know, Enrique to hunt fastballs and do damage early on. You know, that's why I'm going to challenge him and see where he takes us. But we'll see how it plays out. You know, I think we got a lot of options with the people that we have. And one thing for sure is going to be a deep lineup. One of them, you know, probably the top third is going to be very athletic, and the middle of it is going to be about run producers, and the other ones are going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. So we're going to attack you in different ways, you know, with the same lineup, which is intriguing, and it should be good to see. You know, it should be cool to see.
All right, Alex Cora right there. More from him later. Also checking with Bobby Dalbec, who's had a good spring so far. He's hit three balls out of the ballpark and has worn out right center. We'll talk with Bobby Dalbec coming up later on the show as well. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. So in this segment, we're going to take a look back at the week that was for the Boston Bruins. And the Bruins on Thursday and Friday of last week were outscored 13-4 in losses to the Islanders and the Rangers. And it was a bit of a reckoning for the Bruins, who had at that point in time lost four out of their last five games. And kind of a wake-up call for the team to see what things were going to materialize as a result of those two humbling defeats and the fact they had lost four out of five games. So what came next was a game against the Rangers on Sunday. But before that, I checked in with Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Hey, Bruce, you've talked obviously a lot about the injuries on the back end. And do you see that being, you know, the main rationale for what's taken place? And you've also talked about having a couple too many passengers too amongst the forwards. Is there anything you pinpoint over the last couple of games that could rectify where you're at?
Well, if we're just going to look at the two games, right? Because I personally thought we started to slip a bit here in New York the last time up here.
Right.
We won the games, but you know they were very even games that could have went either way. You know, we go into New York and lose, and then we Jersey at home. So we're starting to slip a little bit our overall game, managing pucks, defending, like, you know, being, you know, hard in front of our net, being hard in front of their net. So we go into Philly and we rectify, sorry, Tahoe, obviously, and get some goals. And, you know, you feel like, okay, that's good, some offense. And then, you know, we come back. And New York, we were right there. We were right there, Chris. And it's a 2-2 game, 15 minutes to go. And, you know, a younger guy, you know, in front of our net, you know, lacks a little urgency. It's going to happen. And all of a sudden it kind of snowballed. And again, New York tonight, it's 2-1 in the second period. I thought we found our game. And then, you know, we go to the penalty box, questionable call. And, you know, we win a faceoff, don't get a clear, and it's in our net. And next one rattles off our foot and it's in our net. So we lose our focus a little bit after getting scored on. So part of that is on the coaching staff to get the guys back in the game. Hey, let's stay in the game, focus. As part of the leadership group to, you know, send the same message. And part of it is on the player to understand there's still a lot of hockey left. We've come back a lot this year. So that's a disappointing part that it's gotten away from us. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but that's essentially what happened the last two games. So we don't feel like we're completely out of it and everything's a mess. We just feel that our game has slid the last 2 weeks. Why? Some of it is the injuries. We've missed some guys in the back end that we rely on, but other guys are here that are, you know, guys that can play in the NHL. So they just got to, you know, fill in and stay within themselves, be a little cleaner. I think what's happened back there is they're trying to force the issue, do a little too much. Just be cleaner, do your job. And then the forwards and the goaltenders have to understand that, yes, these guys, some of them are younger and they're still learning their way. So we need an extra save at the right time, secondary scoring at the right time. And that's where we're at right now. So when I say passengers, I guess what I meant is a couple of forwards have to pull a little harder on the rope, knowing where we are. And that's what our team has done over the years. It's picked each other up different areas to be a team. And that's the challenge we have going forward.
Also talked with Charlie McAvoy.
Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Just what do you pinpoint being the challenges you guys are facing right now? Is it mostly driven by the injuries on the back end? What do you see as being the main problems over the last couple of games?
I think, you know, it's hard to kind of pinpoint it on one thing, but I think just kind of getting back to the basics. And for us, that's taking pride in our defensive game, our decor there. Regardless of who's in the lineup, we always feel confident that we can get the job done. So the onus is really on us to step up by committee and keep the puck out of our net, which is obviously something that we haven't been doing as of late. But we had a great practice today. We watched some film, made some adjustments, and excited for the opportunity to get back at it again tomorrow.
So the response was a significant one. The leadership of the group, Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, set the tone, and the Bruins played a heavy, hard game against the Rangers, got out to a 2-0 lead in the first period, and really cruised from there with solid play in the second and third. Here's Charlie Coyle.
Obviously, you know what this group is, and you know of your ability to bounce back in these circumstances, but what's it like to see it? What's it like to put the work in and have a game like this when you need it?
Yeah, we did need it. Just Charlie already touched on that. It's, you know, we drop a couple of games. That's not us. That's not our character, especially the way the result was the last couple. So we wanted to use this one to our advantage and make sure we come, stick together, get back to our game. We've kind of gotten away from that for stretches in games, and we see what it can turn into quick, and that's not us. But when we play the way we did tonight or today, we stick together. We get even new guys in the lineup who haven't played at all, or that's in the way they played to come in like that. That's huge, and that's what we need from everyone is that next man up, you know, mentality as we talk about, and that's huge for us. And hats off to those guys. They played a couple heck of a game, but that's what we need. You know, that's our identity. That's why when we do put in the work like that, and we come out and start the game and feed off each other, that's huge. And we'll get that result more times than not. We played that way.
Coyle scored the first goal for the Bees. Trent Frederick, who has really stood out for Boston, has now scored a couple goals as of late, including the one that put the Bruins up 2-0 in the game against the Rangers.
Hey, Trent. First off, when the leadership sets the tone like this and you watch what they do behind the scenes when things aren't going well, what does a young player take from that experience about how you have to, when things aren't going well, how you have to respond?
Yeah, I mean, they just lead. They're pretty positive. Sometimes it's hard love, but when they're good guys to you all the time, they can tell you what's true and what's right, and they know how to turn your buttons, and every guy in this team. So the leadership group, we have no problems with them. They're always coming out and playing every day. It's the rest of us got to bring it every night, and we'll be a really good hockey team.
And the other question was about, you know, Bruce always talks about you kind of know where the line is and you don't generally cross it. How do you go about doing that? Like, how do you know what you can get away with, what you can't get away with, how much you can chirp, how much you can, you know, take the body without taking penalties? That how do you know where that line is?
You know, that's a good question. I guess just the experience of playing a lot of hockey. I don't really know the answer for that, to be honest. Or if I do, I'm not giving it away. So.
Then it was the return of Zdeno Chara to the TD Garden, as Chara came back for the first time since leaving the Bees as a result of Boston going in a different direction on the back end. Bruins lost to the Capitals in a shootout on Wednesday. Here is Brandon Carlo, who, of course, was injured last night, talking about the return of Z. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. Z coming back tomorrow night, and also kind of this matchup with the Washington Capitals. Want to get your take on that and where you see, you know, that as kind of a rivalry at this point, and also how much better would it be if there were fans in the building for Z's first game back, and that obviously had a lot of intensity.
Yeah, I'll start off with just the developing, you know, feud between those two teams. I think those are two teams that are kind of battling to, you know, be at the top of this division, obviously, and those points matter. They're a big, heavy team. They play hard, and I think when we go into their building or they come into our building, we know on both sides that it's going to be a tough game and that you're going to have to come to play. So it's obviously a fun matchup. It feels so satisfying, I guess you could say, when you accomplish the win in those games, and it's a great feeling for sure. But with Z, I was thinking about it earlier. It would have been so amazing if, you know, we could have kind of relived some of those moments of the crowd being there. I feel like it would have been just as loud probably for that game five in the finals that year when Z returned after his jaw injury. And it would have been very special for him to have that. But still, it's going to be great to see him back in Boston. He's been doing great this year, and we definitely miss him, but happy he's succeeding.
Yeah, Brandon, did that moment, Game 5, when the fans were just so euphoric and Z came out with a broken jaw and was set to play, was that kind of the definition of who he was as a player and what he meant to the town?
Absolutely. I think it spoke just a huge number on how he was supported and how well he was engaged in this community. You know, you see him walking around the North End all the time, and people love to see him, and he's always happy to see other people. And, you know, he became part of the fabric of, you know, the things that we want within this organization and within this city. So, you know, for me, you know, before I even got here, a guy that I was idolizing, and then when I'm here, just learning so much from him. And it was such a great pleasure to be able to, you know, skate alongside him, play with him on a pairing. Just a big honor in my life for sure. And he was definitely, you know, the typical, or not the typical, but the image that you want to portray in the Boston Bruins.
Brandon Carlo right there. Unfortunately, Carlo hurt bad last night, taken to the hospital as a result of a headshot from Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals. Switch gears now to the Boston Celtics. And the Celtics bench has been key during this four-game winning streak, and there's no surprise there. I mean, they need support for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba Walker, who has come on as of late. And we're going to go in-depth on the Celtics bench right now, some of their key contributors. Robert Williams, Peyton Pritchard have been, of the Celtics bench players, probably the most consistent guys throughout the course
of this season. Williams, another strong game the other night. He had 10 points and 7 rebounds in 23 minutes for the Seas, and his impact has been incredibly significant for Boston in the win over the Raptors and previous in the victory over the Clippers on Tuesday.
Hey, Rob, two things. Just what do you see as being the biggest keys to the success you've had over the last three games? And the second is, how much energy do you think that it gives the group when you make the plays that you make, whether it's, you know, dunking over a guy or making a big block?
I feel like as far as energy-wise, that's my main goal when I get in the game, you know, is to get my teammates going any type of way that I can. So whether it's a block, whether it's just picking somebody's head up, you know, whether it's yelling or screaming on the court, I try to do that any way possible.
Talked with Peyton Pritchard about the Celtics' struggles this year. They were at 15-17 prior to this four-game winning streak and what he has learned as a rookie.
Peyton, in watching, you know, what has taken place in the leadership of this group, I mean, what have been some of the biggest lessons for you personally in, you know, how you go about being a pro, how you go about facing adversity? And have there been, you know, positives from these struggles, do you think, in your development, and in where specifically have you seen those positives?
For sure. I mean, it's really about how to, like, mentally and physically take care of my body to prepare for each game. I mean, the NBA season is a grind. There's a lot of late nights. You know, you fly in late. You got to play the next day. So it's finding ways to get up and actually, you know, physically and mentally prepare for that next game and not be kind of tired and stuff like that. So for me, that's been the biggest adjustment. In college, you play like 2 games a day. Now we play 3 or 4. So obviously that's a big difference.
Jeff Teague was big for Boston in their win over the Raptors. He had 14 points off the bench, shooting 6 of 7 from the field, 27 minutes. He's been in and out of the rotation, as had Grant Williams, who had a huge game as well for Boston with 17 points off the bench. We heard here first from Teague, then from Grant.
Hey, Jeff, just the significance of the win tonight going into break, capping a 4-game win streak, and what do you see as being some of the ways and reasons this team came together in challenging times?
We just continue to stay the course and playing hard and playing together, believing in one another. I think our game in Atlanta woke us up, getting beat how we did and not competing at a high level in these last 4 games. Man, we came out and competed and just try to do our best to take it 1 game at a time and get a win.
How do you see the bench impacting the game in the second half? As there's been different guys have stepped up on different nights and given big performances. Do you think that that's going to be kind of the nature of how you guys impact the game moving forward? Do you think there's going to be certain guys that have bigger roles and have consistency in scoring and defense and other areas?
I just think we're a group who we have a lot of talented players that come off the bench, and at any given night, anybody can help us. And I think that's the beauty of our team. I think Rob's been playing great. Peyton's been playing well, and tonight, Grant came in and played great. So you need that on a team. You need guys to come in and play well at moments. And we got so many talented players in the starting lineup that even when guys come off the floor, we know we got some guys that can pick us up. So I'm happy with our group, and we got to just continue to keep working.
Bench has been really significant for you guys over the last 4 games. How do you maintain kind of that consistency of effort and focus collectively as a group to really spur the team in the second half?
Biggest thing is just togetherness, being there for one another, whether it's on offense or defense, making the right simple play, and then defensively having each other's backs. We did a great job of that tonight, whether it was taking charges. Rob blocked a lot of shots that were dire for us, like Kyle Lowry came downhill or even Bembry a couple times. So him being how athletic and as talented as he is, he's been great for us. So it's just been a collective effort, and a lot of guys stepped up.
Shemi Ojeleye has become a fan favorite for the Boston Celtics, a guy that plays hard each and every night, matches up well when needed on a defensive basis. His three-point shot has gotten much better as well. He's been out of the rotation sometimes. He has been in the rotation sometimes. He has started sometimes. It's been kind of an up-and-down season in terms of his playing time for Shemi Ojeleye this year, but overall, it's, in my view, been his best year in the pros. Here is Shemi Ojeleye.
Hey, Shemmy, just interested in your takeaways from the first half of the season for the group as a whole, and also for you. Obviously, this feels like it's been your best year in the pros. Do you feel that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, starting for the group, we have to stay together. We're expected to win here, and I think rightfully so with the guys we have on this team. And I think when we don't meet expectations that we have of ourselves, we have to make sure that we stay together and get even tighter. So through the second half of the year, I think we have to bring that from start to finish every game, knowing that teams are going to come after us and we have to meet that. And for me, it's been a year where I've really tried to make sure that no matter what's going on, I keep my mind in the right place. That's been the biggest challenge for me and what I've been trying to do. And I think that's helped me on the court to keep myself steady.
26-year-old Shemmy Ogilvie here on the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Up next, we check in with the Red Sox down in Florida. Bobby Dalbec, Matt Barnes, and Red Sox manager Alex Cora next. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Well, the Red Sox of your 2018 variety are pretty much, gone at this point, with Jackie Bradley Jr. now signing with the Milwaukee Brewers, Mookie being traded prior to last season, Andrew Benintendi prior to this one. That outfield that you thought was going to be together forever, not so much, as they have all gone by the wayside. But I think this Red Sox team deserves your attention. I think this Red Sox team is going to be really good. They're going to be deep. They're going to pitch a lot better. They're going to field a lot better than last year. And going into the season, really one of the big questions is who's going to close. Matt Barnes has said he wants to be that guy, but Alex Cora said, yeah, we're going to let this play out here through spring training. I talked with Alex about that and some other topics.
Alex, with the closer's spot and more generally, like how do you get through the desires of the player where Barnes says, I want to close, versus the what's best for the team in those circumstances? And do you take that into account when a player says, this is what I want to do, particularly a veteran player?
I'm actually happy that he said that. And nothing against Barnes. In 19, he said all the right things, right, except saying, I want to be the closer. And I'm glad that he stepped up and he said that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your goal should be to be the best at your position, right? So, like I said, we'll go through spring training. We'll make a decision, and everybody's going to be okay. At the end of the day, we will need probably multiple guys that can get three outs in the ninth inning throughout the season, right? Because, the closer will be down, and the next guy has to step up. But I'm happy that he challenged us, right, that I want to do it. So now put work, do your thing out there, and whatever decision we make, everybody's going to respect it. It's going to be for the benefit of the team, and then we go.
But as a manager, how do you go about defining where that line is between what you want and what you want to do that's good for the player? And is that one of the bigger challenges you face as a manager?
I think at the end of the day, you get hired to make tough decisions. And that the players are going to agree all the time? No, but I'll make the decision that I think is the best for the benefit of the team. And it doesn't mean that whoever we decide is going to be the setup guy can't do the closing thing. But, we do believe that it's the right decision. You know what I'm saying? It's something that's the way I approach it. And we have to live with it. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but the decision will be very thoughtful. We're going to put everything on the table, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have an opinion about it, and we'll make a decision as a group, and we'll move forward.
I want to ask you about Devers last year, your takeaways in all aspects of the game from him, and how do you project him this year?
Like I've been saying all week, with Rafi, if you look at his track record, he missed 102 games, and we know what he does in the second half. So, slow start, got hot, didn't finish the way he wanted. I don't know. Obviously, defensively, he had his struggles, but I don't put too much attention or put too much stock on what happened last year. The Dodgers were the world champs, but 60 games are only 60 games, and we can't make a big deal out of it. Defensively, I think so. Yeah, of course. If you struggle defensively in 60 games, there's something going on, and he did struggle defensively. Besides that, offensively, he'll hit the ball hard. He's been working hard in his body. You know, like he's in a much better place even than last year coming in to spring training. I think in spring training last year, he looked good. You know, when he went to the Dominican, you know, there was a lot of limitations. And I don't want to make excuses for him, but, you know, there's certain guys that, you know, they have their gyms and they have the facilities that they own actually in the Dominican. Not this kid. So, I mean, he was just like all of us. Was he, you know, that he needed to do something else a little bit more? Probably. Or do something? Yes. But I can't get on him because, you know, the unknown last year, it was unreal. That feeling that we had as a group, right? You guys had it too. It was like, you know, can I go to the supermarket? What do I do? You know, like, do I wear gloves or a mask or a shield? You know, so whatever. He turned the page. He put work in the offseason, looking forward for him to have a good season. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, he dominates offensively and he's better defensively.
In the acquisition of Kike Hernandez and Hunter Renfroe, and perhaps as a general philosophy, how much was improving on defense a part of that? And has that been kind of a focus of yours going into this season?
You know, Haim, he talks about defense. He does. And you saw what happened in 19, and you saw what happened last year. You know, we took a step back defensively. I do believe in 18, as far as defensive efficiency, we were top five, if I'm not mistaken. And then we took a step back in 19, and last year wasn't great. So, you know, you can slump offensively, you know, defensively, if they're making contact, you have to make plays. And anything that stays within, you know, in the ballpark, you have to, you know, catch ground balls, fly balls. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. I think we should be okay. We're gonna have a good defensive team.
Let's hear from Barnes. And when I talked to them, Jackie Bradley Jr. had not signed as of yet, but he is the Red Sox player rep and looking ahead at the next collective bargaining agreement after this year, and also at the Red Sox pitching staff going into this season.
Matt, generally speaking, though, what is your level of concern about, you know, free agents like you, like Jackie Bradley Jr., and how they're being treated? Because it's not just Jackie. There's a lot of guys that are out there that remain unsigned. How much of a concern is that for you in your own personal situation, but just in terms of the overall CBA?
I think the fact that Jackie Bradley Jr. doesn't have a job right now is absolutely mind-boggling. To me, he's the best defensive center fielder in the game, a guy who has won multiple World Series and absolutely needs to be on a baseball team right now.
And also just your overall feeling about the pitching staff going into the season, the differences between last year and this year, where you guys are?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think the organization did a great job of bringing in some key arms, right? I mean, we brought in Garrett Richards, Matt Andrees, Adam Ottavino. You know, Sale looks great. Seen him play catch a few times. Sale looks great. Having Eddie back first and foremost, healthy. You know, I think a lot of the times we get caught up in missing a guy for a baseball season, but he was dealing with something incredibly serious that has nothing to do with baseball. So having him back and healthy, for his own personal sake and for the sake of his family and friends, I think is incredible to see and you know, is awesome. But obviously having him back as a teammate and as a starter, you know, a key starter in this rotation, I think is a lot. You know, anytime that you lose a guy like Sale and Eddie at the beginning of a season, it's kind of a crippling blow. But the depth of the rotation and the bullpen coming into this year with guys, like I said, who are established, who have been there, who have electric stuff, you know, I'm really excited to see what this staff can do and have high expectations.
Also talked with Red Sox first baseman Bobby Dalbec, who already has 3 home runs this spring. What were your biggest takeaways, Bobby, from the first season and the things that you wanted to improve upon, the things that you thought you did well in that limited time?
You know, I would say swing decisions earlier in the count was a big thing I wanted to focus on. And then just being ready and, you know, allowing myself to see the ball as best as I can. So I just really focused on, you know, starting so early that it almost felt uncomfortable and just worked from there instead of being late and trying to play catch up all the time. It's been translating to here, and, you know, everything feels really good. So I'm excited to keep improving.
Alex was talking about your swings and misses and about the fact that you don't expand the strike zone. So what can you do? What were you working on kind of within, you know, the strike zone in making better contact?
I would say effort level and holding my direction throughout the swing instead of, you know, seeing something pop up and, you know, trying to get it where I see it, you know, halfway to the plate and, you know, just letting it travel and just trusting my swing and my path and, you know, building that speed behind me and, you know, just allowing me to make decisions later. So I can do more damage on, you know, pitches earlier in the count and not having to get to those, you know, deep counts, you know, while I still want to work walks and will do that. You know, just being able to, you know, get balls in play earlier in the count and with authority and, you know, just taking it where it's pitched, taking what the pitchers are giving me.
Is it your sense that this team is going to hit a lot of home runs this year? And when you look up and down the lineup, do you feel that that's going to be one of the strengths of this offense?
Yeah, I definitely think that. And we're going to have a lot of good team at bats as well and drive guys in. And, you know, I think we're pretty solid. We'll be pretty solid, you know, through and through the lineup, 1 through 9, you know, with damage and, you know, being locked in. And, you know, it's a fun team. It's going to be a fun team to play on.
What have you noticed about Alex too, and his impact being with the team this year? What's been, you know, the biggest focuses you've noticed from him?
Defense, I think we have to be better at that. That's been the main thing. I think we know we're going to hit, but you know you gotta pitch and play D to win, you know, to win a lot of games. So I think that's a big focus right now. Base running, it's going to be a big focus. Thinking and, you know, taking the extra base when we can, being aggressive.
That is Bobby Dalbec. You've been listening to the Press Pass, your inside look at what's taking place in Boston sports. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show.